Welcome back, everyone, to Left is Right, a NASCAR podcast. We're calling this one The Ocho, as in episode 8, where we will try and forget everything that happened last weekend and know it was not Las Vegas. Then we're going to get into the next-gen car that was released today and has us all very excited about what is to come. Before diving into what is apparently a history lesson for this coming weekend at Darlington, because everybody and their brother is running some sort of throwback paint scheme. That's all I've been hearing about this week until the next gen car got launched. Adam, Matt, how are we doing tonight, boys?
ESPN 8, The Ocho.
Great, that was pretty damn good. I'll be honest with you. You might have just been voluntold for a few of these.
That's how someone gets a job there.
We get voluntold at work a lot.
That was off the cuff, bud. Phenomenal job. But yes, lots of excitement going on. None of that occurring at the Bushy McBush race.
Bushy McBush. I was listening to the radio. And I'm like, I got to put the TV on because I got to hear Mike Joy say, Bushy McBush.
Everybody had a good time with it. And that was probably the intent of the whole Bushy McBush race thing. Yeah.
What didn't get voted on? What didn't make it? That's what I'm curious about, you know?
Yeah, we'll have to look that one up.
We're going to have to check out the Bushy's website. If you're 21 and older, you can check that out. You do check your ID at the URL. So,
For the second time this year, not consecutive weeks, I didn't watch an ounce of the race because we were on our way home from vacation. And
excursion.
I should have had it on in the excursion, but we were kind of trying with no air conditioning. You know, the windows were open and. You know, when you're trying to cut 8,000 pounds through the air, it gets noisy. So
noisy, and you don't get the helicopter effect in a truck like that.
No, you open the back sides. You open the back sides, the vents.
Yeah,
it's mint.
That glass is literally 4 feet long. So
yes, yes.
When times were good, they don't build them like that anymore. They just don't build them like that anymore.
No,
glass too expensive.
Supply and demand. You know?
I got my finger cut one of those at one point. You know, with the glass used to open. I was back of the Mercury Villager. I had my finger out there being a smart ass. My dad shut it, and I'm like that my finger.
Well, the excursion ones, right? They had to have been like, all right, like let's just take the Windstar windows and make them three times as long, same motors.
Yes.
Amazing. Every van in the you know, that was the thing. You had the late 90s, my parents had a green Dodge Caravan, and that was the thing. You had to have the power vent windows in the back. Uh-huh. Everybody had them. And that van was great until it exploded a transmission.
God, I'd love to see how much money my family's made off them suckers.
Between that and the Cherokees
and Wranglers. Oh baby.
Oh my God! They're everywhere. Anyway. You don't see them anymore.
Nope.
Actually, I lied. I did see one today on 696, and it was Stagecoach, and it had there was no shock left in the front. It was just bouncing.
Oh my God!
I didn't see one today.
Yeah. It's like nowadays it's the Chrysler 200s. You know, they're the vehicle. No one gives a shit about. They buy it. In 3 days, it's just beat to within an inch of its life. Every single one I see.
Isn't worth a dollar.
It's just hammered instantly. And I think those people used to buy Grand Caravans. Yes. And now they now they don't buy them.
Well, with the 200, right, you can get the convertible, you know. They will never work once you put it down. You know, never go back up.
But convertible's a special mod, though. I mean, they made some fairly different. They made a couple different changes on the convertible model compared to the coupes.
Are we talking probably not structural, right?
No, of course not. Just some front suspension changes, and they put a quicker ratio steering gear in it, or a rack.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
made it all sporty, like, huh?
Yeah, you know, because if you want to dive some corners on your convertible 200 on your way to bingo.
Oh my god! All right, we're gonna play a game quick.
Okay.
What's that?
The game is called "What's the first car you went 100 miles an hour in?"
Ooh,
ooh, ooh! Why don't you lead it off, Matt? Lead it off. All right.
So I was in high school, and my buddy—it reminded me of this. That's why you guys are gonna laugh. My buddy had a 1990 Chrysler LeBaron drop top.
Oh yeah.
The first car I went 100 miles an hour in, and the story behind this car is he bought it from some boxing. The guy owned a boxing gym, right? And we're like, why was this car so cheap? And the guy didn't speak real good English, but what we got out of him was the guy who owned the car before him died after a boxing match. Oh my god.
You went 100 mile an hour in a dead guy's car.
With the top down. Yeah. On 287. Yep.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Oh my God. So I've the only one that it may have gone sooner because my memory just could be lapsing me, but somebody had traded in a New Edge Mach 1, yellow Mach 1.
Okay. And, like S197 or newer?
It would have been like 01 or 02 if there was a Mach 1 in that model year, but it was that generation.
Gotcha. Shaker hood.
Yep. And my dad picked me up from either like baseball practice or basketball practice, whatever sporting event. And we had went from there to the dealership to get a different car, actually. But I was fairly young at that point, and I guess I didn't really know what it was, but it was loud. And we easily went over 100 miles an hour. But the second car I went 100 miles an hour was more memorable. And it was my dad's first Porsche, 97 911 convertible. And that one, we were well in excess of 100 miles an hour, and it didn't seem like it wanted to stop.
She's just feeling the good vibes then. You know, that's when she's getting dialed in above 100.
It was way refined compared to the Mustang, let me tell you. It was not violent at all.
We designed the cars for the Autobahn.
The Autobahn, eh?
Yeah. It was cool. But anyway. Brent?
Man, you know, I got to be... my dad is way too responsible to have ever taken me 100 miles an hour in a car when I was a kid, which is a little bit depressing.
No, God bless him. That's a good thing.
It's true. So, I don't know if my first car had enough power to go 100 miles an hour had to take it to 100 miles an hour. Because
first car, is that your RX-7?
Yeah, that would have been the RX-7. Out of the box, that thing would have had 101 horsepower. You know, 28 years before I bought it, or something like that. I don't know
horsepowers too, because they lose horsepowers way faster than normal engines lose horsepowers, right?
Probably. Yeah, that thing was fun. It was in no way fast. It did make fun noises. Most definitely the first car I went 100 miles an hour in was the Volkswagen Jetta that I drove to college. I found the fuel limiter in that car.
Yep.
At 133.
Yep.
Starts cutting fuel. Yeah.
All you would have to do is just be going 75 miles an hour on the highway in fifth gear and just lay your foot into it.
Yeah.
And it'll go.
That strange narrow degree V6 that the Germans made. It was a good engine. They should have kept that thing around longer than they did, but
maybe if it, you know, made sense, it would have stayed around longer.
yeah, it was screwy as hell, but it was a that made it made great noises. Yeah, it was a nice engine.
It had two cylinder heads. It might have had a chance, you know.
Yeah, there's one to wrap your brain around, everybody. A V6 with one cylinder head. I'm sure it's terrible for performance in all reality, because your intake and exhaust runners aren't even close to equal length. They're in separate counties. From a plumbing standpoint, it's a disaster.
Yeah, like the amount of heat soak you get into the intake from that whole situation is.
Oh yeah, it's awful.
It's completely opposite of efficient.
I love it.
Yeah. Somebody anyway. Was like, "Hey, I need a V6 to fit where a 4-cylinder fits." And I'm like, "Oh yeah, we can do that."
V, do it, it's for you.
just this one time.
Sorry to
sound a little Russian. I don't know.
I don't know what that was. The vodka drinking. I don't know.
I am drinking whiskey.
Are you? Let's get to whiskey.
Yeah.
Matt, what's you drinking?
So, now that I derailed the pot, I'm drinking water. I'm not having a good time right now. Happy Cinco de Mayo, gentlemen. But I'm free on Sundays. My 2 weeks after my second shot, so the party begins.
I just had my second. Am I not supposed to be drinking? Oh shit!
What?
I just had my second shot. Am I not allowed to be drinking?
No one told you. Oh well, my god! Did you see that? No, it's fine. The best good Twitter post last week on the COVID topic. Wood Brothers Racing put to what's his name? That guy is hysterical.
Yeah, he's like the son or grandson or something, isn't he?
Oh my god! When he was at Door Bumper Clear, I was dying. But he tweets out, he goes, "Everybody's complaining about this microchip shortage. You know, all of a sudden we're making all these vaccines. No one's putting two and two together."
Yes, I love it.
It was like, "Just kidding, get your shot." Like,
yeah.
Oh my god.
I love the talk of the craziness when it's in that mood, you know, but it's in that lighthearted mood.
Absolutely. Brilliant, especially, you know, because, you know, you're the longest running NASCAR team, right? Pretty much. And you have the guts to go ahead and lighten the mood. I love it.
So Bushy McBush, though, you Bushy. Told me prior to getting to bringing in this with the quite possibly the best intro of this NASCAR podcast thing here that we've had so far. Yours was good too, Matt. Yours was really good. Yours was better than all of mine. So,
yeah, Bush just got it though.
Make that clear.
That it factor, as they call it. But go ahead.
Yeah. But what? So you told me I picked a guy who didn't even race. So you know, I was drinking a lot last week and not paying attention, I guess. So
I'm gonna walk you through how I do this, because a little context to it. So I get our picks. I laugh, right? I'm right, and I write down where everybody finished, right? So I'm going through yours. You picked first. So I'm going through, and I'm like 66. I'm like, I think that's Timmy Hill. So I'm on racingreference.info, and I'm looking. I'm like, I don't see his name, right? And I'm like, all right, could be my dyslexia. So I sort it by car number, right? Just looking for 66, and don't even see that. And I'm like, this dude didn't even race in the race. So that's it. So Adam, to make yourself feel any better, we'll knock these picks out real quick. I'm really not excited to talk about this race, minus one thing.
No.
But all right, Adam, you had Ryan Blaney ended in 21st for your winner.
Yeah, screw Kyle Larson.
Yep. Oh, dude, he. Like I said,
that's my comment about that. That's my comment about that. Listen, we'll move on.
And it's a fair comment. And Larson just needs to finish a goddamn race. Like, how many times? Him and Hamlin, both of them. Take a breath. It's going to be okay.
You led 100 and some plus laps. It's like, get out of here.
Yeah, give him a turn and then do your work. You know? God. But Adam, your dark horse, you did take Eric Almirola, who got you your best finish of 12th position.
Yep.
And your God.
Where did he finish? Where did he finish?
12th.
Did he?
Maybe not. Did I screw this up again?
Well,
hold on.
I'm pulling up my thing here.
Oh God, did I screw this up again? Eric Almirola. Eric. Wrong. 29th.
Incorrect. Say.
Oh boy.
Incorrect. Edit. Not that you were in any picture to win anything with a driver not, you know, in the race.
Correct. Correct. I mean, I'm just, yeah. All right.
Well done. Well done. So
that's where I'm at, 29th.
Yes. All right. Brent, better than Adam. You had all three drivers in the race. So you got.
I was going to say the bar was not set real high.
Was it?
Well done.
We're going to take the wins when we can get them. You took William Byron to win. He ended up in 9th. Well done. And the biggest dark horse pick of the season with with Kevin Harvick.
Oh God.
Hey.
What?
He came in 2nd place. So he was running around. It was perfect. He that's where dark horse is supposed to be, in case the guy in first, you know.
He's also, maybe not at this point, because the only other guy that has as many wins as him is, you know, won the race, but first or second in all-time wins, active driver. So, I mean, I just, you know, I rest my case.
Listen, we didn't.
All right.
Does not need to relive it again.
I'm going to make a list of drivers you can't pick for Dark Horse. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Are any of them going to be in the race?
Oh, he's killing me. He's killing me. Fair.
Love assessment. It. Prince on fire.
I love it.
Do too. So, Brent, you did take the 22 with Joey Logano, who had a terrible race. He was sick, allegedly. He ended up in 17th, but you did pick the 47 car to be involved in an incident.
Ooh.
Was your thing. You said the 22 into the 47, right? Which is Mr. Stenhouse.
Yeah. Did he go to the care center after that?
I mean, he did. He was crashed out. So I don't know how we score this, because your primary was the 22, but Stenhouse did bring out 2 separate cautions.
So
2 accidents.
But
I didn't really want Joey to go out. I just kind of wanted Joey to turn Stenhouse.
Yeah.
You know, which didn't happen, but you know.
Yeah. So Stenhouse was in an incident on the backstretch, and then. In the not too distant future in turn 4. I know Ryan Preece crashed also. Did he crash before Stenhouse?
I can't remember how that played out. I know for a minute there, I was sure that Stenhouse was on fire.
Yeah.
You're on fire.
Ryan Preece is 37. Where was he at?
Mr. Preece ended up in 32nd position.
That was in the same. Preece was in the same accident in turn 4 as Stenhouse. So same. Yeah, same
pretty
situation.
Sure Stenhouse T-boned him when he came down off the.
I mean, I'll take it. I mean, that's a job well done, Ren. Job well done.
You're gonna get the W for that, buddy. That's it.
Yeah. I win some, I lose some. You know.
You're on fire today,
buddy. Especially with that dark horse, man. Out of nowhere. So, I took
Matt. How'd you do?
I took Chase Elliott. Ended up in 5th. Took
good.
I took a driver who does not have a win, Tyler Reddick.
Ooh,
and, he ended up in 7th position. And I took Corey LaJoy for my care center, and he ended up finishing the race. So
he did run
27.
Yeah, he didn't. He didn't complete the race though.
I'm sorry. He did not complete all laps. He was, what, 2 laps short?
He was a couple laps short, yeah. But anyway, yeah.
He did. Nice. Hey, you definitely take the cake for the winner pick, though. The rest of us were not even close.
That might have been your best choices of the year so far, Matt.
And I was literally going in numerical order.
Yeah.
9, 8, 7 car. So, yeah.
So toot your own horn a little bit, bud. I mean, come on.
Yep. And then guess what I didn't do? I didn't put my fantasy picks in. So that's a big goose egg for me.
Ooh, Well, I'm like 2 weeks behind, so.
Fine. Well, put a big goose egg for me.
All right.
There you go. I think I got like 150. It wasn't fantastic, but I'll have to check again.
Better than Zippo. So
I did that once.
Do me a flavor tomorrow and send me your last 2 weeks.
Shoot them over.
Yeah, so Bushy McBush and Talladega. I think those are the ones I'm missing.
Bushy McBush.
I can't believe it. I really can't believe it. So I don't want to talk about
Clint was enjoying himself in the booth.
Yes, he was.
That was good. I really hope he had a good time. That's really what was important for me.
I'm sure he had a few bushies afterwards.
Oh God. Whatever they're pouring.
Yeah, whatever's cold, I think, is what he drinks.
Give me six Schlitzes, whatever's free.
So aside from Kyle Larson just, you know,
God,
railing his car into other people. But the incident. Who's got a good explanation of the incident or has a good take on the incident with the tire?
Brent, would you like me to? I'll high level it. So
I think you need to go over it because I'm fuzzy.
All right. So let's see. Did I take any notes? I didn't, but I do remember this. It wasn't a memorable race for me, especially because. Right. So. Yep. So we have no racing incident cautions. We have the comp caution at stage one, stage two, and then lap 231, we end up with a debris caution in the front stretch. Now, debris, right? Normally on a track or, you know, some kind of a safety issue that they have to deal with. So what was transpiring was, about this time, they were green flag pit. They were pitting under the green, right? Everybody's coming to pit road. I think it was the A car who had the tire get loose. I forget what car it was.
I don't remember what car it was.
Okay. So we have a car lose control of a tire. It rolls across pit road and it ends up in the grass between the front stretch and the pit road, right? So tire sitting there. Now, it weighed 80 pounds. And yes, it wasn't really near the racing line, but I don't want to get hit in the face with a tire if I'm a spectator, right? Yep. And as we know, a car can spin at any time and end up anywhere. It's been proven, right? This is tried and true. For me, the caution comes out when there's a safety issue, right? Or there's an unsafe condition present on the track. So what happens? Tire's sitting there. Everybody's like, all right, caution's coming out. Our boy Stenhouse is cruising around because he thinks the caution's going to come out and he's going to, you know, maintain a better lap position, get a better jump, right, on the field. And we're waiting. And we're waiting. And everybody's pitting. And we're waiting. And there's a tire sitting there. And we're waiting. And we're waiting. And apparently something like 15 or 20 laps go by. Everybody finally pits. And then NASCAR decides that, oh, this is an unsafe event. Thus, we got to put the caution out and someone's got to get that tire.
Yeah, right. So the dilemma is not so much on the tire being out there, but just NASCAR's decision to conveniently wait an excessive amount of laps to determine it to be unsafe.
Correct. It wasn't, you know what, to the NASCAR's benefit, it wasn't unsafe at first. And then, you know, 20 laps later, it became unsafe. So that's when they had to put the caution out. Because it moved. No, it didn't. It stood in exactly the same spot the entire time.
So according to the race results, to clarify, the caution lap for the debris on the front stretch, the car number they have noted next to that incident is the 99 of Mr. Daniel Suarez.
Well, did he get the free piece? Or did he get the, or was he the tire?
Well, I don't know. So this is what it says: 231 to 235 debris front stretch car 99.
See in the top it says free pass.
Where?
Same
I'm
thing.
I'm missing that.
Okay.
I don't know. I lost right. me. Sorry.
Whatever. I forget. No, it's all good. So I'm looking at racing references. If we're looking at the same thing, but
No, I'm just looking at the Cup Series race results. NASCAR themselves.
So it could have been Mr. Suarez. So I don't. We always, and we're beating up drivers on this podcast about, you know, changing the race results, right? Influencing the race. It's Kyle Busch spinning to bring out the caution, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
And now NASCAR is now playing fun with the yellow light, and deciding when it is or is not safe, which makes no sense to me at all. So
I mean, yeah. I guess you said there were no cautions during the first part of the race. Maybe it was the Xfinity race. I was watching where somebody got loose. I think in turn two, pretty darn loose. Like impressive that they saved it instead of going around, but they saved it. And NASCAR threw the caution. It was like, Are you itchy? You itchy on that flag there? Like, wait, you know.
Yeah.
Playing whack-a-mole with the button, you know.
Yeah, like, geez, you know. If the car isn't facing the wrong direction yet, don't throw the flag. Like, that surprised me.
It's an interesting situation for sure, because, like, what you're saying, you know, is the tower control, I guess, if I think about it the right way, is the tower race control. In this situation, it looks more like they are doing something that could potentially affect the outcome of the race, if I'm saying that the right way, or the way I'm thinking. And that's definitely, I think that's definitely a fair assessment based on the amount of laps, like Matt described, that passed from the moment the incident occurred for the debris to get to where it was, and then the decision to take it out. Now, I think most people are probably upset about it, because, like you said, who was the car that stayed out and didn't pit?
There was two, but the one that lasted the longest was Stenhouse.
Okay, so Stenhouse, right, stood to benefit the best in that situation, because he didn't pit, he put himself in good position.
He was only lapped, so he would have got great, you know, he would have jumped a bunch of spots on pit road. So
so let's just say half the field doesn't deploys the same strategy in that situation. Would that many people be butthurt about it? Probably not. But I don't like the decision by NASCAR to wait and then therefore ultimately affect the outcome of the race or the strategy in the race. That's a stupid move on their part, in my opinion.
They had to have a committee meeting in the hauler about
what race control to the hauler, please.
Yeah, race control, we gotta have a meeting middle of a NASCAR race. Do you guys think we should throw a flag for that tire?
You can't do this. This is not something that's okay. Especially we're not F1, right? We don't determine who's going to win the race before they run it, right? It's not how this works. This is NASCAR, right? If there is an unsafe condition, throw the caution. We're not talking about a piece of fender is going to cut a tire down. We're talking about an 80-pound weapon, right? That carries a lot of inertia when it gets going. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, yours like if the tire gets hit and gets punted essentially somewhere crazy. Yeah,
it gets sent.
Control.
Right? We've had tires in the stands, right? That happened at Daytona a couple of years back, a lot of years back now. But you know, just because the knuckle has to be tethered to the chassis, you know, might have to tell us something about one just sitting there on the grass. So
yeah, and I mean like you know, imagine Josh Berry coming through the infield at however much speed with that splitter. And, you know, let's just say he hits the tire instead of the sod.
Yeah. And, hey, the tires are about to get significantly larger on these cars.
Are we excited or what? So we are filming.
Are we excited or what?
Cinco de Mayo or new next-gen car day, in my opinion.
New next-gen car. Yep, new next-gen car. Yep, the tires are going from a 305 section width, which is roughly 305 millimeters. The tire manufacturers like to blur the rules a little bit there, up to a 365 millimeter wide tire on a 18-inch wheel instead of a 15-inch wheel, so they can put bigger brakes in them,
It's an alloy wheel instead of the steel wheel off my wheelbarrow in the garage. It's you know, we're doing big things, folks. You know,
gentlemen, we're doing big. We're talking to build off that. They're talking 15-inch rotors up front, 14-inch brake rotors in the rear. My first Civic had 13-inch rims.
Yeah.
It's a great step for NASCAR. Rotors.
Oh yeah.
It's a great step for NASCAR to get back to a little bit of the stock car aspect. And when I say stock car, I mean like a little bit more resemblance of the production model.
They look great.
And also getting back to NASCAR, I guess, setting the industry trend, or maybe not the industry trend, but just setting the pace, or getting back to at least closer to the lead on a technology perspective and research and development, what things work, right? So I think for a lot of years, that was something that NASCAR prided itself in, you know, kind of setting those trends for regular vehicle production and the things that they were doing, right, making its way to the consumer world and the road. But that has certainly lost its way, for sure, over the years.
Oh, God. But, man, to build off that, those cars look great. They have their own personalities now. Like, the bodies are completely different on all three cars. And the Mustang, for example, has the Mustang side divot, right?
Yeah. Like, the real profile just has that, yeah, narrow window, you know, the hips on it. Right, like you were saying earlier in the text message.
Oh, Shakira, baby.
the reduction in the rear deck length is the thing that stinks out to me the most. It's something like 6 inches or something like that. The wheelbase is the same, but there's so little rear overhang. The rear window is a little more. The rear window is longer. The deck lid is shorter. The overall shape is a lot different than what we're so used to seeing.
Back, right? More fastback than touchback. We're talking about
they touted the what they believed that will be a ton more mechanical grip in the car compared to the current vehicle. So it'll be interesting to see what that does. You know, for me, for as a race fan, right, and really loving the super speedway situation, I'm very curious of what's going to happen when these things get lined up side by side at 200 miles an hour and where do they go from there? But,
absolutely.
You know, when this car, the current car that we're using came out, I don't know if you remember this, Matt, because this would have been when you and I were kind of like watching together. Those cars were all over the place. That first year.
Oh man,
they were dancing like crazy, and it was like, okay, here it comes. You could just see it. Like, this car is about to take off like a freaking jet on a runway.
they were loose. They were loose the entire time. There was nothing they could have done. They had nothing. So it was great, great to watch, but very predictable, like you were saying, Adam. And you know, look what they got to him now, man. These things are glued to the track. So
absolutely. Yeah,
and they're gonna further that now, and they're talking there's less aero in these cars. I don't believe that for one second. They got a fully I forget, there's a racing term for it, Brent, you'll tell me. The underbody, completely topped about, is completely,
my voice is kind of, but yeah, they have a I think it's carbon fiber too, completely covering the whole underside of the car. Surprising, yep. Considering the speeds that they're running, that they don't run something like that, because a lot of air goes under that car that we don't think about at these elevated speeds. And there's no question that the increase in mechanical grip they're going to have from the wider tires and the better suspension design. They're going to a four-way adjustable Ohlins shock absorber instead of I think the current stuff's just kind of a set it, forget it. They'll swap out shock absorbers at each racetrack, just like they swap out springs to get different spring rate. They can't tune the shocks in chassis.
That'll give him some more, a lot more adjustability. So yeah, the grip is going to be up. In a vacuum, if you will, we want to use that term. You know, they've tested these cars. You run one car by itself, okay. You put a field of them out there together, and I think that's what was, you know, how are they gonna handle in dirty air? That'll be the really interesting thing that you really can't test without a large number of them.
Speed week. Let's just hope that we can get some practice and some qualifying back before Daytona next year. And you know, the first events are going to be speed weeks prior to the 500, and that's going to be the world's first experience with 40 cars on track together on a super speedway. And let's let it take place.
That's awesome.
The biggest race of the year. Yeah, all right.
At least they'll have, you know, the Clash and all that stuff going on prior to hopefully learn a few things, trial by fire a little bit. But I think it'll certainly level the playing field even more than the traditional super speedway will do, right? But you know,
the best part is we're going to be to watch this better than we've ever had before as fans, because allegedly I read they're putting cameras in every car.
Yes.
Really?
I have cameras. Wow. Yes. And looks like the Motor Vehicle Safety Standards government actually got involved, and each car will now, instead of having a mirror for a rear view, they will have a camera for the rear view mirror.
Fancy.
Really? Because what Brent was saying about the rear, the fastback part now, they can't see out of them.
Wondering the same thing, because in looking at that picture you sent us, Matt, of the rear profile, and that's where I got that assessment of, you know, it's so production Mustang with that narrow rear window, having driven, you know, the production version of that car, right? You know how hard it is to look out the back. It's just not existing.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're driving a Mustang or a Camaro or anything at the back of those cars.
Where's the camera located?
I don't. Dude, smash that thing right in, right?
Well, that's what I'm thinking is if I'm a Chevy driver and I'm at Talladega, I mean, I'm going to ram the crap out of that Ford in front of me and destroy the camera and...
Have fun blocking the Elegant.
That'll be some fun stuff. Oh man!
I bet they hopefully have thought about it. I don't think that's a good idea, but I don't know how you get around it.
And is the spotter going to have the same view? Are they going to have camera view?
That would be awesome, wouldn't it?
Better get the secure network in there. Get the IT guys hacking the camera shots.
Yeah, on the super speedways, I definitely think that the guys are going to struggle off the bat with the new car. It's just, you know, how do you set it up? You know, obviously the big excitement for me is going to come from road course racing these cars, mm-hmm. because they should be so much better in every possible way that you could imagine with the independent. Speaking of the bigger brakes, I didn't know this, and this is something I didn't even think of. I knew going into the 15-inch wheels on these massive, heavy, high-power cars, they can't fit enough brake inside these wheels, so they need the bigger wheels, which they've gone to, but they took it a step further in on your super speedways. You're using the brakes on, they're going to run a brake rotor that is thinner and lighter because of mass. And then for your short tracks and your road courses, they're going to run a thicker rotor that has higher thermal mass and can absorb more heat and be more effective for that application, which is cool. I'm assuming they're still running. These are going to be iron rotors. We're not getting into carbon ceramic stuff, but it's cool.
Yeah, it's but really I think cool. It leaves it open. I think the platform's left open for something like that.
Oh, absolutely. I guess fix. As if what they have doesn't cut it, you put carbon ceramic on there and you can stop a 747.
There will be no doubt there will be some changes after year one. I mean, that's just, I think that's inevitable, and I think that's the beauty of this platform.
100%, man. And they did their homework, and to Brent's point about road coursing, the bodies are now symmetrical, right? Yeah. So looking at it from the front or the rear, it's even. And that will only help with weight distribution left to right. And additionally, now the sequential gearbox, 5-speed, right? We added that extra gear in there because, you know, it's what year would it be? 1982? And we finally got an overdrive, you know?
Yeah, Logano said that. Logano
said that. With the gear count yeah. there, but
he's like, that's something we'll have to get used to is that extra gear in there.
Amazing. But it's in the rear, kind of Corvette style, right?
Yeah.
The diff. So they're working on that weight distribution the best they can. So what else did I wrote? I took notes during the press release because I was that excited. What did I say? Oh, it's got a rack and pinion steering, gentlemen. Did you catch that?
Yeah. Welcome.
Of all the things I knew about the current car, I did not realize that we were still running rack and pinion off the old World War II Jeeps.
Having a truck style steering?
Yeah.
Wasn't even aware.
What was I going to say on that? I can't think of it now. I had a comment, but
So rack pinion, right? So this is and they always mention this, Brent. They always talk about steering feel in the corners. No wonder why they can't feel anything.
Yeah.
The feedback they're going to get now is going to be unbelievable. They're like, guys, when you turn the wheel,
it's precise.
And my 04 F-150 had rack.
Did it
for perspective? Yeah.
My own and my 2000 has a box, so okay. There you go.
Well, you had the older body style.
I did. I still do every day. Drove it to
you have. You have. Yeah. Sorry.
That's my. It's a Red Rocket, bud. It's the F-75. All right.
F-75.
Is there free play in the steering?
No, not a little bit. Not that bad. Not like
not
the
not excursion.
Not excursion and not Dodge. What was Dodge's van they made?
I call it the Ram van.
The Ram van. We'll go with that. I like that name. I drove one for work when I was in high school.
Yeah,
you had to take up the slack in the wheel if you wanted to think about doing anything in a corner. Oh, like, all right, you got a preloader. You know, bring her in. You know, bring her up on the box. You know,
that's about like most commercial trucks do.
Yes, they've gotten a little better, but yeah, definitely. But the excursion is it works better if you are quick with the wheel. So if you're real lackadaisical and you're just kind of letting it follow, you're all over the place. But if you give her the quick jerk left and right, she stays straight.
I learned that the hard way. Yep.
With a trailer. It wasn't until like a year after that I had ever driven your excursion without a trailer hooked up to it.
Yeah. Unbelievable. But gentlemen, we have a car. We have a legit. This is going to be like the Mustangs, the Australian supercars, right?
Oh yeah.
It's going to change. It's going to change the sport a little bit for sure. That's my assessment.
And to build on that, Adam, my assessment is it's going to be harder for them to get the lefts down than the road courses. I think the road courses will come so much more naturally with these cars.
Yeah. Yep. It's intriguing to see what happens driver-wise and where people stack up. I think the first quarter of the season next year will be a learning curve for everybody. But, I mean, these guys are professional and gals are professional professional drivers,
right.
You know, so I Chase commented on that a little bit when he was up on stage talking today. And I don't know, like I was thinking about what he was saying a little bit and then thinking about also, right, being professional. They're professional race car drivers. Yeah, they're primarily stuck in this Cup Series car currently, but a guy like Chase has certainly driven many different types of vehicles at this point at a competitive level. And I don't think they'll have a problem. It just may take a few races to get comfortable.
And you know what? They're only going to get better. And with the standardization now, with a lot of components, some of these smaller teams, right, that don't have the money to dump in the chassis, are going to be. It's going to be all driver, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be awesome. It's going to be a lot of driver. You know, people that have been in the weeds, drivers that have been in the weeds, now have time to shine. And I am excited for that. That's going to be awesome.
We'll see who the wheelmen or wheel women are when it comes.
Cool. Yes. Oh my God! And did you notice that Denny was wearing Jordans up there? Did you notice that? Of course.
I mean,
big team guy,
paid by hand partner,
Jumpman fan.
Yeah. So the one thing I noticed about that was, I think I said this in the text when they did the Camry last. Thank God. Of all three cars,
not the Supra, the Camry.
That's weird. Your explanation of that was stupid. If anything, the Camry should be in Xfinity and the Supra should be in Cup, but that's okay.
It's fine.
But anyway,
welcome them as a American brand. It's fine.
Once the TRD president, which I can't remember his name, was talking, Denny kind of put the microphone down between his legs and like looked like he was kind of like stroking himself off, for lack of better words, and he just had this look on his face. I'm like, man, there's no way he's just doing that naturally, and I feel like somebody's put him up to that. Like
Adam, I'm furiously scrolling Twitter to see if anybody commented on what was happening. But yeah,
maybe it was nothing. Maybe it was just me with a dirty mind. I don't know, which is it's very possible. But
seeing things.
Good.
It's gonna be awesome. And Jim Farley tweeted out today that they're talking hybrid powertrains for the future. So down the road. So that'll be pretty cool.
Yeah. That was alternative propulsion was definitely discussed with this chassis in that debut today, and also that's something that's been talked about is, you know, can the chassis handle that, or will it be able to adapt? And it sounds like the answer is yes.
Especially with the torque tube style now of transmissions, right? What's easier to bolt? So I'm pumped.
We can't get NASCAR fans to agree on number movement. Holy Lord! Wait till they talk about putting a one speed electric motor in this thing. You want to talk about dying? It's coming, baby.
You know what killed F1 for me? Changing the sound of those engines, man. I'm telling you, it's coming. I know it is, and I'm gonna have to get off my high horse about stuff that makes noise. But
well, I'll give you that because I mean, as we've learned from Brent's experience of NASCAR and the noise that's generated at a race that is certainly an aspect of it, you know. And think about it, like listening to 40 cars go around Talladega, like sounding like a bunch of Ryobi weed whackers, battery powered weed whackers, is gonna be that would be strange.
Oh God!
And then when they catch on fire, you know they won't be able to put it out. So
just burned. Red flag the race. You know
it's over. See you guys.
We can't. You can't use the track till next year. There's a hole in the center of the earth.
Paint turn three. It's gone.
Oh my goodness!
Crazy.
Good stuff, guys. But yeah, I'm pumped. I really am.
Next race is the Goodyear 400 on Sunday afternoon at Darlington.
Yes, it is. One of the oldest tracks. I like Darlington.
Darlington's a great track, and that's one of the tracks I enjoy playing on heat. Actually,
so tough.
It is very tough, and that's like the nickname, right? Like too tough to tame. Like that's the play, but. It's a track, I think, as you watch enough, if you watch enough of, you'll notice that it is very, very dangerous to run the high line as your car wears and throughout the race, you might earn yourself a nice little stripe.
Yes, and they've cutely nicknamed it the Darlington Stripe. So yeah. I'm about it, and I like the Highline. I like getting those, especially coming off the corners, how tight they can get up there. So it's fast. You just gotta hopefully you have tires to make it stick, right? So
yeah,
yes, sir.
Let's get into it. Let's just get into our. I think it'll be a good race, but let's just get our picks out of the way. Last week. I went last, but I picked first a week before that, I think.
So we're all over the place.
So Brent, buddy.
I could probably go first.
You're up.
So I think my I know that Darlington is definitely not a short track, but it is a little bit of a shorter track than some of the ones we've run recently at under a mile and a half. And I'm gonna go with Mark Truex as my guy under a mile and a half is my go to for winning at shorter racetracks. So that's the pick there. Hopefully this time.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. No, I was going to tell you why it's an amazing pick, but if you had more to say, please continue.
No, I don't have any more to say. I know it's an amazing pick because he's your boy.
And he's running a throwback black paint scheme.
Oh.
Back to the Furniture Row days, even though it looks nothing like it. I'll take it.
He's run a hell of a lot of lead laps here in last year in 2020.
Yes.
But he didn't come away with the win.
He had a late race tire, right? Was that it?
I think that was the problem there.
Way to go, bud. I like that pick. That's a good pick.
That's my pick. Hopefully my dark horse won't upset you in the way that it did last week.
You're going to take, let me guess, Denny Hamlin as your dark horse.
You guys are funny. It's funny.
It depends on who you say. I might just say no.
Okay. Well, that's fine.
Veto might veto you here.
Okay. This is not a democracy, but we can try. I'm gonna go with Matt DiBenedetto.
All right.
Of course. Okay, I'll take an eye, right? You know.
Okay,
no, that's fair.
Okay.
Yeah, totally fair. Am I wrong?
No, you're not. That's a good pick.
Okay, at least we're making
guy's hot. Guy's real hot, you know. He's got a freaking they got it going on over there at Wood Brothers right now.
They got it going on over there. The care center, and this one's tricky. I'm gonna try and make sure that I pick a guy that's actually probably gonna be in the race.
There you go. Always a good starting point.
I'm pulling up the starting lineup so I don't make the same mistake.
He's got to have reference.
That's a great pick. So we were all paying attention last week, apparently. So
that doesn't matter if you guys ever do something stupid like that.
You know, I let it happen once or twice. I'm gonna. I don't know. This guy, he's been okay off and on, but. Recently, a little more off than on, and I'm going to pick Chris Buescher as my care center.
Yeah,
care center this week.
In the 17, right?
Yes. I believe so.
Yeah,
the Fastenal Ford.
Fastenal.
Yeah, he's been needing a few. Been needing a few screws. Got a few of them loose.
Overall, all right, bud. That's not bad. Not a bad round at all.
All right, Mr. Messina, see what you got.
I'll keep this quick and nice, quick and easy. I haven't used this pick yet for my winner. I think he's gonna get a new winner this year. He's gonna be another new winner. I think we're gonna have the Kevin Harvick machine get the victory lane. He is out of the 26 races here. He has won 3 of them with 11 top fives and 15 top tens. So, okay. I think he's got a good shot. I haven't used him yet. So, I think this was a good time. I think from what I've seen the past 2 races, they're improving over there. And I think they're going to get one. Now, my dark horse, kind of surprised myself when I saw this name pop on the list here, but I'm going to take Jamie McMurray.
Who?
As my dark horse. You know, so that washed-up guy, Jamie McMurray. Hear me now.
Is he even in the race?
He's racing, bud. Is he actually racing? Hold on. Is he actually racing?
Dude.
God, I mean,
I'm looking at the starting lineup.
Is he not on there?
What's his number? hold on. I'll just go down the list here.
No. Don't worry. We'll figure it out. I thought he was running.
This is the cup race. I have to say I don't see his name. So
I think you're taking a page out of the book here.
As a friend, I'm gonna not let you do that.
What happened?
So thanks.
Is that a bad pick? After using your veto, you're gonna do on Brent for me.
Well, you can do whatever you want. You go ahead and pick him. That's fine. Maybe he's gonna surprise us in the race.
Substance wins. Could you imagine?
That'd be historic.
All right. Now that I've made an ass of myself this evening, par for the course, to be honest. We're gonna take. I'm gonna stick with. Ryan Newman.
Okay.
Ryan Newman. That's who we're gonna pick.
Good old Newman. What's he riding this week?
His sponsor? I don't have his sponsor list up. Who's he got in the hood? Let's see.
He's number six, right?
Yep. I got to go to my
six. Other site Kohler here. Generators.
Oh, that's a good generator. Not the best. Not the best.
Not the best, but good.
Listen, you know, if you don't have that Honda money, you can look this way. That's what that is. And my care center is going to be Kyle Larson.
Okay.
Probably pretty good.
And
you can have a chance of winning it.
I think he's going to send one in the wall. I think he's going to do a rear tap and then spin around, take the nose out. I think that's what's going to happen.
Okay.
So
most of the incidents I think are going to be with the wall here. That's okay. That's Steven's assessment.
What's the over under versus inside versus outside wall? Definitely outside.
Definitely outside. Yeah, wouldn't bet against it.
Love it.
Unless you're Stenhouse, right? And that and comes around there on the back stretch and off he goes on the inside.
Was this the first race we raced last year when we came back?
Yeah, that was the incident. That's what I'm describing.
100%. The first driver, the wreck.
No practice, nothing. Just first hot lap. There he comes.
Yep. He's around into the inside wall. Caution.
It's Stenhouse.
Oh, it's Stenhouse, or Mike Joy says once in a while. But he's literally disappointed when you're ripping Mike Joy's heart out, you know?
Yeah.
So that's my terrible picks this week. I want to put a star next to Ryan Newman because I was an idiot. So we can remember that pick.
Week. Nice.
Don't worry. We're not going to forget.
You're welcome. All right, Mr. P. All right, Adam. Sorry. Adam, you're up.
It's me, right? So I'm going winner, quick and easy here. I got to get back. I got to stay on the Chase Elliott train. Not a bad look. I feel like he's got to get there, and maybe sandbagging. I don't know. I hope not. But this is a track he's definitely led some laps at before, and so hopefully he can get it done. And for the dark horse, I'm gonna go with Austin Dillon.
Yeah, he's creeping like top 15, top 10, man.
He's hanging in there. He's had some good decent history here. I think in the Southern 500 last year, he was top five, if I remember right. That's huge in my opinion. This is it's practically the same situation of no practice, no qualifying. So hopefully Austin can come through. Not as big as fan, but We'll see.
I hate others more, if that means anything.
Yep. Yep. And the care center pick, the infamous care center pick. Who did you pick, Matt, again?
I took the five car of
Larson.
Mr. Larson.
And Brent, you took Buescher, right?
Oh, Buescher, yep.
Yep. So I'm actually gonna go with my guy here. I think it's gonna be another big name. And maybe this will surprise you guys, but I think it's gonna be Joey.
Mr. Logano. And yeah. Adam, I was gonna bring this up to you. I'm looking at his car right now, his throwback car, the Mario Andretti. That thing looks awesome. Have you seen it?
No, and that was something I had intended to pull up here.
Jay Ski's got it.
They have a link to the paint schemes, everybody's paint schemes. And Brent, that's something you mentioned about.
Dude, all I keep hearing about is the different throwback paint schemes. So it should be a neat race to watch just from a decoration standpoint.
For sure.
Chastain's got the old McDonald's car back from like the early 90s. Looks great. What other cool cars are out there?
Oh, the Hooters car. Chase is in the Hooters car. Hell yeah.
Is Hooters still in existence? I thought they were shuttering all their restaurants.
They got enough money to put on one of the on the most recent champion's car. Yeah, they're doing fine.
Spend their last dime on it.
Blaney in the okay, that's cool. You got
Denny Hamlin's car looks good too.
Kyle Larson's Kyle's car looks no fucking different than it does any other week.
It's a throwback.
Scumbag.
Yeah, idiot.
Oh yeah, the intro. Okay, there's Joey's. Yeah,
that thing looks sweet.
It does. Well, hopefully it gets us some airtime when it gets to the care center this week. Can't believe I'm saying that, but I don't know. He's changed man since flipping over.
It's like Ricky Bobby, you are not on fire. Why the other car? What are those other things? Ricky Bobby, those are the other cars.
Oh my gosh. Why are they going so fast?
I love it. I'm also digging the Byron throwback, the old Valvoline paint job.
I just got to that one. That looks cool. The Valvoline car looks cool.
What other showstoppers we got?
Dal's got Bill Elliott's 85 Daytona 500 winning car.
Spire Motorsports. What are you throwing back to?
Surprise, surprise, the Petty Machine.
Are they throwing
John Andretti, yeah.
Never. Really? Never. They never done that.
Bowman's car.
I don't remember.
Is Greg Ives' late model scheme.
Okay.
That's cool. It's like this like turquoise blue. That's interesting.
I like the black wheels.
Yeah.
Big fan of black wheels.
Josh Balicki. Burger King. Oh, baby.
The man, lounge.
Insurance King. It looks like the Burger King logo. That's got to be copyright infringement. Holy crap.
I'm sure Timmy Hortons right now is getting all bent out of shape about that one.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's going to look cool.
They're going to have no idea what's going on. No one's going to know who any car is. The 78 looks awesome. Corvette parts.
Nice.
Yeah, Corvette parts, yeah.
Who's driving that car right now? 78.
The 78. Here, I can tell you.
McLeod, right? McLeod, whatever his name is.
DJ.
Yeah, so yeah, my neighbor.
Isn't he team owner?
Is he?
Isn't
I hope
he
so.
One of the team owners at Live Fast?
It's a good question. I'm not sure. So I put my my old Truex logo and the new Truex logo in the back of the truck. And my neighbor's an old NASCAR fan. He comes walking over. He goes, You big BJ McCoy fan? I'm like, no. Come on. 78, you know, first row racing. Looks different. No. He's like, no. I'm like, oh, God. So, I get it. Yeah. You know, that's the guy who knows everything next door.
Now you need, like, you know how that, like, across the windshield banner or the rear banner, they've got the name in the center? Or Truex.
I should get Truex.
You should make that just so we can be clear, you know.
And make sure you edit out my name when you edit this.
Oh, shoot. Sorry.
Yeah. No, it's fine. I took the bait. I appreciate you.
Yeah, I'll cut that.
If you want to get fancy.
What's that?
You can bleep it out if you want to get fancy.
I could. Yeah, I could bleep it out.
Yeah, you can bleep it out. You just put your jabroni there instead.
Jabroni, yeah. Record jabroni. Something over top.
King Jabroni.
Oh, so yeah, gonna be definitely. I'm hoping to watch this weekend. We'll see. It's Mother's Day, so I certainly can't miss out on that opportunity either.
Yeah,
so
treat your lady right too.
Definitely higher on the list than watching the NASCAR race, I have to say.
Yep.
Sure. If you didn't say that, it'd be a problem. So that's a good thing.
My wife is an amazing woman. We'll keep that part in. That's for sure.
We'll leave that in?
Yeah, we'll leave that part in. Nobody better.
That's it. That's good stuff. Good stuff. So, yeah, you guys take care of the mothers in your lives. And this will be some good racing. Everybody's always a good race here. And they'll be eating up tires left and right and slapping the wall and, you know, just like the moms want to see their kids wrecking. Right.
So. Exactly. I think we get to watch the trucks on Friday night, which I always love the time slot.
Okay. I'm all trucks this weekend then. Friday night is trucks.
Did you catch the Chastain machine last week?
Ooh, baby, what a run, huh?
Oh, what a run! And you had the watermelons out there.
Man, it's the water. It's the scheme, you know. Like it's the scheme.
He gets pumped. You know he gets pumped up when he sees that thing.
Got that big dick energy.
Oh, God. That's a shirt for him. We should just go on his marketing team. Big Melon Energy.
Big Melon Energy.
Maybe next race. New t-shirt, Matt? New Cena original?
Let's do it.
Big Melon Energy.
We'll do it pink. It'll be amazing.
Yep, number 42. I like it.
Big fan. They even put a microphone in his face more. He'd have way more fans if they let him speak more.
That's great. Fair assumption.
If this doesn't work out, I'll just go back to farming watermelons.
I get a sound bite from you. Amazing.
Yep. All right. Well, it's on record.
It's official. Let's see if I get identified in this episode. So, gentlemen, had a blast as always. Both of us, way to go picking drivers who aren't in the race. So really, really showing our true colors here.
Yeah.
But let's go. New car. Everybody check out the pictures of that. Thanks for listening and supporting. And as we like to say, keep the shiny side up and the rubber side down. Everybody have a great, great, great weekend, and we'll talk at you next week.
Talk to you next week.
See you, boys.
See you guys.